few weeks, we're going to be, or I should say next few months, we're going to be studying Peter's epistles. First and Second Peter are such encouraging epistles. As you look at these two epistles, we see a marvelous entreaty on how to live victoriously in the midst of challenges, in the midst of suffering, in the midst of persecution. We see the secret to the meaning of life and how to live the Christian life. The Apostle Peter has so many things to reveal to us. And as you study this particular epistle here in 1 Peter chapter 1, the Apostle Peter mentions so many profound subjects. For example, as you begin looking at 1 Peter chapter 1, we read words like election and foreknowledge and sanctification. These are words that bring joy to our life when we truly understand these concepts. The concept of election. Who are the elect? The process of sanctification. How is one sanctified? That idea of foreknowledge as we think about the omniscience of God Almighty. That's how Peter begins. But as you continue to study this epistle, as we talked about this morning, Peter talks about the blood of Jesus Christ in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, the redeeming blood of Christ. As we study this great epistle, the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 1, verse 4, will talk about that eternal inheritance. You see, there are spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus, according to Ephesians 1, verse number 3. And Peter talks about that inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, reserved in heaven for you. I'm thankful for that inheritance. I long to receive that inheritance, that crown of victory, that crown that the Lord will give us on that day. As you continue to look at this great epistle, Peter is going to talk about what it means to be holy. In 1 Peter 1, verse 15, we're to be holy as God is holy. And what a challenge it is to be set apart for God's service, for God's work, for God's purpose. But that's what God expects of His children. We are to be holy as He is holy. And then Peter talks about one of my favorite subjects. As newborn babes, 1 Peter 2, verse 2, we are to grow as the children of God. We should challenge ourselves to be growing spiritually speaking. And when we grow spiritually speaking, we will grow closer and closer to God. As we see in James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, when we draw near to God, He will draw near to you. And the beauty of that is that never stops. Wherever we're at on the spiritual barometer, there's always room for spiritual growth. You could be a Christian for 50 years and there's still improvement in your life, spiritually speaking, if we will grow and if we will challenge ourselves and if we will never lose that craving for the Word of God as newborn babes. That's the desire. That is the craving that all of us should have toward the Word of God. In 1 Peter 2, verse 9, Peter is going to talk about the privilege of being a part of God's royal priesthood. What a beautiful term. What a beautiful concept. What a beautiful truth. You see, as Christians, each one of us is a priest. Under the old law, you had the Levitical priesthood, and the people of God would have to go through the priest in order to approach God. One of the blessings that we have under the new covenant is that every Christian is a priest. Every Christian has access to God. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 and 16, God invites us to approach His throne of grace boldly. And when we enter His divine throne room, we see what we'll find: grace and mercy to help in time of need. It's wonderful to be a Christian, isn't it? To be a part of God's royal priesthood. And then Peter really challenges us as you continue to study 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter talks a lot about submission. And we are to submit ourselves to the government. And that can be challenging at times. We are to honor the king. Again, Christianity is all about submission. If we have a hard time respecting authority, if we have a hard time learning to submit to the government, to one another, husbands and wives, we're going to have a hard time submitting to God. Peter has a lot to say about submission as you read 1 Peter chapter 2 and also 1 Peter chapter 3. In chapter 3, Peter is going to discuss marriage relationships between husbands and wives. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 7 encourages husbands to honor their wives, to know them according to knowledge, lest your prayers be hindered. You see, there are things that can hinder our prayers. And so we need to understand God's expectations of husbands and wives. And God, through His Word, has revealed these things. In Peter's epistle, Peter will also discuss how to suffer as a Christian without becoming bitter, without losing heart. In fact, when we understand suffering, we'll see the value of it, as David did in Psalm 119, verse 71, when he said, "It's good that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." And Jesus Christ, as you'll see in 1 Peter 2, verse 21, is our perfect example in suffering, who committed Himself to the Father. You see, that's the key when it comes to suffering. We must commit ourselves to the Father. And then Peter will encourage us to cast our anxieties upon God in this first epistle in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, because God cares for us. We all have concerns. We all have anxieties, things that are on our mind. We have to learn to bring these before the Father's throne. We need to cast these cares, these concerns before God because His ears are open unto our prayers. 1 Peter 3, verse number 12. The Lord wants to hear from us. The Lord wants to know when we're struggling. The Lord wants to know when we're hurting. And you'll see, as we mention all of these things just from this first epistle, the first epistle truly is a treasure chest that is filled with tremendous nuggets of truth that will help us along the way, that will help build up the inward man. And that's the focus that Peter has, is on the inward man. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, we see that the outward man is perishing, but the inward man is renewed day by day. When we look at Colossians 3, verse 10, we learn how the inward man is renewed day by day. The inward man is renewed through a knowledge of God's Word. That's why we need to study. That's why we need to feast upon the Word of God and feed our faith on a daily basis. Because when we study God's Word is our spiritual food that builds us up. It nourishes us. It builds up the inward man. And it teaches us to walk by faith and not by sight. You see, too many times as we go through the Christian life, we walk by sight and not by faith. We learn in Romans 10, verse 17, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That's why, again, it's so important to love the Word of God. As the psalmist declared in Psalm 119, 104, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day long." To meditate upon the Word of God means to mull over, to chew on it. And I hope as we go through this first epistle over the next several months, that we will truly chew on the Word of God. That we will mull it over in our minds. That we will dwell upon it, because God's Word is powerful. And God's Word will protect us from the adversary, the enemy. You see, Peter warns us about the devil. He's that roaring lion that's walking about seeking whom he may devour. Peter encourages us in 1 Peter 5, verse 9, to resist our adversary, to resist him, and he will flee from us. But before we actually get into chapter 1, and we'll do that next week, I want to talk a little bit about Peter. Peter is such an interesting individual. He's an individual that would really encourages us, because Peter wasn't a perfect individual, and Scripture shows that. We can be encouraged by looking at Peter's life. And if you would, go over to John chapter 1. There's a lot of background information that we can look at, but I just want to look at one example here. As we think about Peter's background, we see that Peter was the son of Jonah. His brother was Andrew. In John 1, 35 and following, after Andrew heard John the Baptist preach about Jesus being the Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world, you remember he goes and he finds his brother Peter, and he says, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted the Christ. Look, if you would, at John chapter 1, verse 42. "And he brought him," that is, Andrew brought him, Peter, to Jesus. "And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," rock, stone, which is interpretation, a stone. And so we see some background information concerning who Peter was. And we see that Peter's name was changed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 5, we also learn that Peter was married. We see in Matthew chapter 8, verse 14, that Jesus will heal Peter's mother-in-law. I believe it's implied from these verses that more than likely Peter and his wife had children. In 1 Peter chapter 5, we learn that Peter was an elder. And one of the qualifications of an elder is that they must have children. And I realize the Scriptures don't bring that out, but I believe it's something that is implied in the Scripture. And all of this background information really helps us understand this man of God. We read about his occupation in Matthew chapter 4. Peter and Andrew were fishermen, but you remember Jesus calls them to be fishers of men. And Peter at that point will spend the rest of his life serving the Lord and sharing the gospel. Peter was such a great individual. As you know, Peter was one of the 12 apostles that was chosen by Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus spent all night praying to the Father before He chose His apostles. There are four lists of the 12 apostles in Scripture. Matthew chapter 10, Mark chapter 3, Luke chapter 6, and then also in Acts chapter 1. And I find this fascinating. At the head of every list is Peter. At the head of every list is Peter. Now again, I don't know if there's something there, but I think we can say at best that Peter was the spokesman of the 12 apostles. And there are places in Scripture where we see that, particularly in Acts chapter 2, verse 14. We see that Peter stood up with the 11, and we see that he boldly proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we think about Peter and as we continue to look at Peter's life, there are a few things that I want to highlight from the gospel accounts about Peter. And they mention so much about Peter. I simply want to highlight some things about Peter's life that will give us a deeper understanding and a deeper appreciation of this first epistle. And it really gives us an appreciation of this man of God. If you would, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 17. And I'm just going to highlight, with the time that I have left, I'm just going to highlight some passages about Peter. And we see different things about Peter. And as we look at these passages this evening, I want you to think about this concept, this idea about Peter, about his life. As we're reading these verses, we see a diamond in the rough. Okay? We see a diamond in the rough. And as Peter goes through these things, we see that the Lord is working with Peter, polishing that diamond. And we'll make another comment at the end of our lesson about who Peter was. But notice with me, beginning at Matthew chapter 17, and we'll see here in Matthew 17, verses 1 through 4, that Peter was with James and John at the Mount Transfiguration. But you remember, it was Peter who said in verse number 4, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. Will thou let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias?" The Lord is teaching Peter a valuable lesson here during the Mount Transfiguration. And the lesson was this: Peter, you need to hear my son. And what a valuable lesson for all of us. God hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. We need to listen to Jesus. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. There's a reason why God's given us two ears and one mouth. He wants us to listen. Be swift to hear, according to James 1, verse 19. That means to be ready to hear. And I believe the Lord was teaching Peter this lesson. Peter, you don't need to be worried about building three tabernacles. You need to listen. And I believe Peter did listen. I believe we see that he listened to the Lord when you read 1 and 2 Peter. Look at another example in Matthew chapter 18. In Matthew chapter 18, Jesus teaches Peter a valuable lesson on forgiveness. Jesus encourages brethren to work out their differences in verses 15 and following. And then we see in verse 21, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" I think when Peter asked the question, he was thinking in his mind that he was being very generous by saying, "Lord, should I forgive my brother just seven times?" And notice how the Lord responds to Peter: "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." Jesus is emphasizing the point of forgiveness. As often as your brother asks you to forgive him, that's how many times you are to forgive him. And Peter needed to hear that. Peter would struggle with this at times. You know, there were even times that Peter struggled in showing respect of persons. Paul withstood him to his face in Galatians chapter 2. Peter learned a lot about forgiveness from our Lord. Look at another example, if you would, in Matthew chapter 19. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 27, Jesus talks earlier to the rich young ruler to give all that he has. And remember, he went away sorrowful because he had great riches. Now with that in mind, listen to verse 27. "Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee." Listen to the question: "What shall we have thereof?" Lord, what are we going to get out of this? Remember that diamond in the rough. The Lord is working with Peter. The Lord is teaching Peter so many valuable truths, spiritual truths that will help Peter become the great man of God that he was. Jesus goes on to say in verse number 28, "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the generation when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of His glory, ye also should sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life." I think the Lord was teaching Peter what this was all about, what it really means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. and the victory, the inheritance that Peter talks about in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, can be ours. You see, when we become a Christian, we gain so much in Christ Jesus. And we talked about those spiritual blessings. We may lose some physical things, and there may be loss of even family relationships, but we gain so much more in Christ Jesus. And that's the emphasis. What we gain in Christ Jesus. If you would look at Matthew chapter 16, I'm going back now to Matthew 16 because I wanted to focus in on this particular statement. In Matthew 16, verse 23, you remember Jesus talks about the church in 13 through 19. He talks for the first time in verse 21 how He would go into Jerusalem before the elders and suffer many things and be killed and raised the third day. Notice verse 22. Then Peter took Him. Took who? Took Jesus. Peter took Jesus to the side and began to rebuke Him, saying, "Be it far from Thee, Lord. This shall not be unto Thee." But He turned and said unto Peter, "Peter, get thee behind Me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto Me. Peter, you're being a stumbling block to Me." Now notice what He says. "For thou savorest not the things which be of God, but those that be of men." Other translations, "Peter, you're not mindful of the things of God." Jesus was teaching Peter that he needed to be spiritually minded. Peter heard about his Lord whom he loved, no question. He heard about his Lord suffering and dying. "Lord, not on my watch. Lord, I'm not going to happen to You." But what Peter failed to realize, that this was part of God's eternal plan. And Jesus teaches Peter a valuable lesson about not hindering God's eternal plan. As we said this morning, Jesus said, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent Me and to finish His work." And He did finish the Father's work. He finished it completely and perfectly. But we see Peter at this point in life was trying to hinder the Lord. Peter had a lot to learn, but Peter learned the lessons. He learned the value of what the Lord was teaching him later on in this life. He learned that it was necessary for Jesus to die on the cross. He's going to talk about that. He's going to talk about the Lamb of God, the One who would shed His blood on the cross. At this point, he didn't understand that completely. Later on, he would. Again, you see the Lord working with this man of God. If you would, turn over to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Again, as we surf through the pages of the Bible, we see so many things recorded in Scripture about the Apostle Peter. Here in Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 31, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you, that he may agitate you as wheat. Peter, you better get ready. The devil is going to work on you." I find it interesting that Peter talks about that devil, the roaring lion, in 1 Peter chapter 5. Again, I believe he learned how the devil worked. But here, the Lord is preparing Peter. "Peter, the devil desires to have you. He wants you. He wants to devour you. He wants to destroy you." He destroyed Judas. He won an occasional battle with Peter, but he didn't win the war. He won the war with Judas, but not with Peter. The Lord encourages Peter here in verse 32. "Peter, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." Well, there are so many things that we need to pray for. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17 teaches us that we're to pray without ceasing. And here is one thing that we can pray for. As we make intercessions and supplications on the behalf of our fellow Christians, Let's pray that each one of us will be stronger. Let's pray that our faith will fail not. That's what the Lord was praying on the behalf of Peter. Peter, I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not when thou art converted. Peter, when you turn again, I want you to strengthen thy brethren. Oh, the Lord has great plans for Peter. The Lord is going to use this great man of God to encourage so many. At this time, Peter may not quite understand how the Lord was going to use him, but the Lord was working with him. The Lord was preparing him to do great things to strengthen the brethren. When you read 1 and 2 Peter, you see that Peter strengthened the brethren. But after hearing these words, listen to how Peter responds to this in verse number 33. And he said, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death." And he said, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." Lord, Peter, I know what you're saying. I know you're ready to go to prison and to lay down your life, but let me tell you something. You're going to deny me three times. And we see that that's exactly what happened as you continue to read. Peter denied the Lord three times, just like Peter says in verse 61. Listen to what it says. And the Lord turned. And what a look that must have been. The Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Peter remembered what the Lord said. Peter was challenged. Peter let the Lord down. But Peter would grow from this. We see later on, after the Lord was raised from the dead, in Mark's account of the gospel, Jesus makes it a point to say in Mark 16, verse 7, after He was raised, tell Peter to come. Tell Peter to come. And the Lord would then encourage Peter. If you would, turn to John chapter 13, another fascinating section of Scripture on the Apostle Peter. Here in John chapter 13, Jesus is teaching His apostles a valuable lesson on serving one another. And serving one another, Matthew 20, verse 26 through 28, is a mark of true greatness. The apostles at times were worried about who would be the greatest in the kingdom. And to demonstrate servitude, our Lord got down on His knees and washed His disciples' feet. And Jesus said in verse 7, Jesus in verse 6, "Then cometh Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt not never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Notice how Peter responds. "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Again, you can see from statements like this that Peter was learning. Peter did not understand everything that was going on at the time that it was happening. But the Lord worked with him. The Lord taught him. And as we look at Peter's life, we see that Peter grew from all of this. Some other interesting context in Matthew chapter 14. You remember Peter jumped out of the boat and he walked on the water. But when he saw the wind and the waves, you remember, he began to sink. He cried out to the Lord, "Save me." But Peter got out of the boat. I think we talk about Peter a lot of times. He took his eyes off Jesus. But have you ever thought about the point that he got out of the boat? How many of us would have gotten out of the boat? Peter got out of the boat. Peter was walking on water for a period of time until he took his eyes off Jesus. But I believe when you look at 1 and 2 Peter, Peter no longer took his eyes off Jesus. Peter was focused on his Lord. He was focused on his Redeemer. In John chapter 18, when they came to arrest Jesus, you remember it was Peter who cut off Malchus's ear and the Lord put it back on. Again, the Lord was working with Peter. And I appreciate the Scriptures recording all of this for us to learn about this man of God. But perhaps the most familiar book in John chapter 21, the most familiar saying that the Lord tells Peter in John 21 is, "Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep." And when we read 1 and 2 Peter, we see exactly Peter feeding the Lord's sheep. When we turn to the book of Acts, we see how active Peter was. Peter may not have been a leader while the Lord was here on this earth. But when you begin to go through the book of Acts, you see Peter becoming a leader. In Acts chapter 1, verse 15, remember, he was the one that chose Judas's replacement. We see in Acts chapter 2, he is the one that stood up before the crowd and preached to the people. We see that Peter and John healed a lame man in John chapter 3. In Acts 4, verse 19, Peter went before the Sanhedrin. In Acts 5, he dealt with the hypocrisy of Ananias and Sapphira. In Acts chapter 8, he rebuked Simon the sorcerer. You remember what he told Simon the sorcerer? "Your heart is not right with God." In Acts 9, he raised Dorcas from the dead. In Acts 10, Peter taught the first Gentiles the gospel. We see Peter growing in his faith when we turn to the book of Acts. When we look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see a diamond in the rough. But we see from 1 and 2 Peter that Peter became a rock. Peter became a strong, strong individual. And when we look at Peter's life, while the Lord worked with him, and when we look at what Peter writes in 1 and 2 Peter, it can help each one of us to grow. I want to encourage you over the next several months to spend some time looking at 1 and 2 Peter. Read through 1 and 2 Peter. And I promise you, as we go through our study, you will grow spiritually speaking. But let me leave you with this thought tonight. If the Lord could use Peter, the Lord can use us. And that's what we learn from Peter. If the Lord can use Peter, the Lord can use us. And we see how patient the Lord was with Peter. The Lord is patient with us. And we need to appreciate that God is long-suffering, as Peter will talk about in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord gives us the opportunity to grow. We need to give the Lord something to work with. We need to be like Peter. Let's not give up. Let's continue to learn the lessons that the Lord has taught us in His Word. And we too can be that solid rock in the faith. The lesson is yours tonight. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, won't you please come right now as we stand and as we sing.